today on It's Time.
When things do not go the way we want, God in His love strengthens us.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal. Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling.
Genesis 31 today, as we get together and study God's Word. Last week, when we left off in our story here in Genesis chapter 31, we remember Laban's countenance, his father-in-law's countenance towards Jacob changed. And it was really because of people gossiping to Laban. We remember that verse 1, and we'll just look at this real quick. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. That wasn't true. He actually worked for it, and God blessed him for it. Now you're going to find, as we look at this, an exceedingly amount of jealousy of how God blesses you, and the world can't figure it out. It's just the way it works. God is the originator of all things. He's the creator of all things. Remember, He multiplied the loaves and fishes. And oftentimes in our lives, we need a multiplication of whatever it might be in our life to meet the need. God does that. So we remember that because he knew his father, he had fallen out of grace with his father, he told his wives, he said, look, let's leave because your dad doesn't like us anymore. Let's get out of here. And we remember that Rachel and Leah both had said, they said, well, what about our dowry? What about that you worked for us for those 14 years? Where is that money? Is there anything left for us? And evidently Laban burned it all up, used it all up. And so really, it's kind of a picture type. Laban is a type of the world. Jacob is a type of those that follow God. And really, his family had no inheritance with things of the world, and neither do we. And so when we come into the story today, what we're going to find is Laban catches up with Jacob and his family and his flocks about a 7 days journey away. He was almost to the land of Canaan, and God intervened. Let's pray. Father, as we go to your word today, may your Holy Spirit speak to us and encourage us and cause us as we read these words to realize just as you anointed and protected Jacob, so you do with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've talked about this before, being a believer in God does not exempt you from trials and problems in the world. In fact, I'm pretty much convinced that because you are a child of God, you will endure many things. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Now, tribulation comes in different ways to different ones of us. That's the way it is. Sometimes it can be in your job. Sometimes it can be in your home. It can be in your children. It can be in mechanical things. Your car breaks down, the washing machine blows up, or whatever. These things are just part of living in this world. But I do believe when it comes into the spiritual realm of God intervening in our lives to keep us from becoming discouraged when things do not go the way we want, God in His love strengthens us. And so we find Jacob, I believe with God's strength, got his family, moved him, and he was headed back to the promised land. And as we read last week or the week before, chapter 30, God had put it in his heart to return to his father's homeland, back to the land of Canaan, the promised land. And so it wasn't till things happened in Jacob's life that that was initiated and it actually happened. Now remember, God a lot of times will prompt us in our spirit what he wants us to do, okay? We get a prompting from God and we go, okay, God, that would be really neat. And then we start thinking, oh, I don't see how that could ever be. And then a few weeks later, we lose our job and we go, how is that? Well, see, God has a way of moving us around through circumstances. Now remember, God is bigger than the things you've done wrong, and he's bigger than the things that people have done wrong to you. And God is the meter of that which will help us be where God wants us to be. That's why the Bible says, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. Why does it say that? Because we have to reckon if God is bigger than the things that have gone wrong in my life, and for that matter, the things that have gone right in my life, then I know I'm going to be led by God to be where he wants me to be. Now again, at the time it may be painful. At the time you may not understand it. But the good news of the gospel is this, that God will guide us in spite of whatever it is in your way. You are God's person and he will have you where you are supposed to be. That's just the way God works. Why is that? Because you are in a cosmic accident. You are divinely created. As I've shared so many times, no one's ever been like you ever before on this earth. No one will ever be like you ever again. No one has ever looked like you, had the same things happen in their life. That's why you need a God that knows those things to arrange your life to have you have the most impact in this world as we possibly can while we're here. So, we find in verse 25, so Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban pitched his in the mountains of Gilead. That gives us a location, and it tells us about how far he traveled. And so he was almost to the Jordan River when this happened. And so it says, and Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away my daughters like captives and taken away with a sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and song and timbrel and harp." Now, again, as we shared last week, he was just laying a guilt trip on him. Jacob had, Laban had no intention of doing that. If you go back again to verse 1 of the chapter, you'll find that they felt that all the wealth that he had accumulated was because of Laban, but it was because of God. And it was a square deal that he made with Laban. I'll take the spotted, the speckled, the ringneck, all the ones that nobody else wants. I'll take them. You can have all the beautiful Gucci ones, okay? Well, the Bible tells us that God blessed him. All these animals that were having calves and all the little babies, they were all speckled and all those things. And so they became part of Jacob's lot. Well, this was an amazing thing. His herds got bigger and bigger and bigger. And Laban, because he wanted just the best, got smaller and smaller and smaller. Now, we talked about this. Jacob is a picture type of Christ in the Bible. In this regard, that Jesus took all of us that were spotted and blemished and hurt and broken and heart sick and all those things, and God brought us to his side and says, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to make you bigger than you ever were before. And I like that about God. Remember, the things that God has purposed for you are beyond what you can even think or know. And again, I look back at that, and because we live every day kind of like a on-the-spot thing where God, over a period of time, begins to reveal his plan and do these things. And somebody walk up to you and say, did you ever believe that this and this and this would ever happen in your life? I'd have said, no way. But God, because he loves us, he meters those things out to us because of his great loving hand towards us. We serve a good God. We always want to remember that. And so he said, why, I would have sent you away with a big party, literally. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in doing this thing, and it is in my power to do you harm. So evidently he thought about it. He thought about doing something really bad to Jacob to take back all of his stuff. But notice this, friends, and this is so important, and you're going to see this over and over again in the text today, but something greater, you're going to see it over and over again in your life. You're going to see that. Notice what it says. Now he says, it is in my power to do you harm, but here it is. But the God of your father spoke to me last night saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. You see, he was under divine protection. So are you. Do you find that anywhere else in the Bible? All the way through the Bible you do. Remember, the devil came to God, Job chapter 1. God said, this is a Mike paraphrase, but God said, Where you been, devil? And he said, I've been out cruising. He goes, where you been cruising? He goes, I've been cruising, walking to and fro on the earth. It's all rotten, all bad. God says, have you considered my servant Job, an upright, upstanding man in all of his ways? Yeah, but the only reason he's good is because you gave him all that good stuff. You take away that good stuff from him, he'll curse you to your face. So God said to the devil, okay, you can take away his stuff. See, God knew something about Job that the devil didn't. Job knew God. Now, we read the book of Job, and our study is, of course, in Genesis, but the book of Job, again, is interesting because the devil had to ask permission to what he wanted to do to Job. The devil cannot willy-nilly do whatever he wants to do. He only can do what God allows him to do. But he also is a legal God, our God is, and when man and woman gave this world into the hands of Satan, you see the result of that. As you open your newspapers and you see the sorrow and the pain and the suffering and the injustice and all those things that you see in the world, all because man wouldn't listen to God, and man still is not listening to God. You notice that? And thus we continue this horrible downward spiral to what we know is the last days and eventually into the tribulation. He said, I can do what I want to do to you. Except God spoke to me last night and said I couldn't. Always remember that. You got a God in heaven that says, can't touch that. See, you belong to God. You become God's property. Not only do you have your name written in glory, and that you have that eternal reward, but today, see, a lot of people in their Christian experience live for the future. I love that, and I think we should indirectly. But we also, as Christians, need to live today. And understanding today as a Christian, you are divinely protected by God. And we have to remember that. And I believe as long as God has his purpose for you here on this earth, and this goes back to Revelation, where the two witnesses are in the streets of Jerusalem, warning the world not to take the mark of the beast. But the Bible says, and when their purpose, when God was finished with their testimony, he allowed them to be killed. The whole world rejoices. The prophets are dead. The prophets are dead. Here, have a present. Because they didn't like what they had to say. Because they were telling the world to repent. And that's not a real popular word in today's world, nor during the tribulation. And then 3 days later, they stand on their feet and they ascend into heaven. And it says the whole world watches them, which tells me a lot about global satellite television, but the whole world sees them do that. The point is this, you are invincible until God is done with us. And until that comes, you can be about your Father's business and know you're divinely protected. He said, be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. And now you've surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? I told everybody last week, this is such a goofball statement. You stole my gods. You know, it's really weird when your gods can't protect themselves. Kind of got a problem, don't you? Well, that's what he said. Now, why, again, why did he want his gods? Well, we remember that Rebecca is the one that took them. He didn't know that, but it says, Rachel is the one that took them. And so Laban had these gods, and he accused him of stealing them. And so Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, and I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let them live in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have of yours. Take it with you, for Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, went into the two maids' tent, and did not find them. Then he went out into Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in a camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent and did not find them. And she said to her father, let not my father be displeased, but I cannot rise before you in the manner, because the manner of woman is upon me. She was during her time of the month. And he searched, but did not find the household idols. So there's a question, why did she take them? Maybe she worshiped them. We don't know. That's a possibility. Another possibility is, idols in those days were used kind of like fortune telling. And maybe she didn't want her father going to those idols doing the fortune telling things, you know, tossing the dice. We talked about that a little bit last week as well. People trust in weird things. They have their lucky silver dollar, or they have their lucky rabbit's foot, or they have whatever. That's what they trust in. Gluing statues to the dashboard of their car, wearing undergarments, or all kinds of real kooky weird stuff. The Bible says that does not protect you. What protects you is the divine purpose of God in your life, and that you are a child of His. Always remember that. Another possibility is because it represented property deeds. Some people believe that a family was known by the gods it served, and so they had these idols, and so they could prove where their territories and boundaries were by the gods they had. And another possibility is she didn't want her dad to be worshiping idols anymore. That's a real possibility as well. Don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he searched the house, didn't find him because literally Rachel was sitting on them. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. I imagine this anger and rebuke Laban. He had put up with a lot of junk from this hard-nosed father-in-law of his for over 20 years. And I believe that when he finally spoke, these were some pretty harsh words. Jacob was angry and he rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what's my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that we may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your young female goats have not miscarried. Their young I have not eaten, the rams of your flock. In other words, I've not enriched myself by anything you have. And so he says, that which was torn apart by the beasts, I did not bring to you, I bore the loss of it. In other words, that I didn't bring you, and it was customary in those days, that if a shepherd was watching sheep, and a wolf would come in, a coyote would come in, something would come in and kill the sheep, it was customary then to take the what remained of the sheep, it was gutted, it was blood-soaked, and bring it to the master and say, look, an animal attacked your sheep. Thereby proving that the shepherd didn't steal it and eat it on his own, but he brought the carcass to the master. Jacob said, I never did that. I replaced whatever was lost in the field with my own sheep, with my own flocks. That which was torn by the beast, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it of my hand, whether stolen by day or by night. There I was. In the day, the drought consumed me. Frost at the night, my sleep departed from my eyes. And by the way, of course, that's what a shepherd would do. Many times the coyotes and all would attack the flocks by night. And so the shepherd would be required to stay awake all night and bear the brunt of the weather outside. And so he says, unless the God... Oh, he says, I've been in your house 20 years. I've served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and saw my labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Wow, that's pretty bold to be speaking to your father-in-law like this. I imagine the family reunion is going to be a little bit different after this. But he's saying, look, you changed my wages 10 times. I worked for you for 14 years for your two daughters. I didn't steal anything from you. Laban answered and said to Jacob, verse 43, these daughters are my daughters, these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to these my children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and be a witness between you and me. Then this is called the parting of the ways. Now, sometimes in our dealing with in-laws, when they become outlaws, you just sometimes have to stay away from them. And that's exactly what happened with Jacob and with Laban. And so the Bible says here that Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones, and they gathered stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Sidera, but Jacob called it Gael. And Laban said, let this heap of stones be a witness between you and me this day. And he called the name Gael, also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me while we were absent one from another. Now, many of you, and you may even have this around your neck right now, I don't know. You may have the token of Mizpah. Has anybody ever seen one of those? Well, I'll tell you what they are. They were oftentimes sold in Christian bookstores. And what it was a round coin-looking thing with this verse written on it. The Lord watch between you and me while we are absent one from another. And then the coin that had that stamped into it was sawn in two in a jig-jag manner. And so your lover would wear half and you would wear the other half and you would get together and go, the Lord watch between us while you're absent one from another. Let me tell you something, friends. That's not the context of the verse. Basically, they built these and said, this is the border boundary. God watch between you and me while we're absent one from another, you good-for-nothing ripping off snake. And I always was amazed when I would see, and I'd go to church years ago, and I'd see these jagged half coins around a person's neck, and I'm going, you don't even know what that's about. You see, things out of context can get kind of weird. And that's what it was. They made a covenant with each other saying, God, watch between us, and don't you ever come back this way. That's what he was saying.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.